434-1790. Brass Dex, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing, Dennis?
I am doing all right, and you, man?
Good. Good to hear your voice. Your song in good health.
Yeah, trying to stay on that side.
Well, don't worry. You can. All things are possible with God.
That is what I believe.
Good. Just a quick point and or observation. Mm-hmm. It won't be long because I know you have quite a few callers.
Okay.
And the program is very short.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to respect the callers.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to take this opportunity to congratulate on last night's meeting at the candidates, the Democratic Labor Party. We have a cadre of five strong candidates, and the facts were brought to focus. I commend the Master of Ceremonies for the great job they've done last night, and I would trust and hope that the people from both sides of the fence have heard the facts, have heard what we have, the achievements which we are focusing on, nothing else but the achievements, what we have done, what we will continue to do throughout the rough times and even in the good times, and what we expect and continue and will continue to do moving forward should be reelected. And I also want to say also, I commend you, Dennis Johnson, for standing firm on certain things when people call in. It doesn't matter which side, you understand? Because you have to protect the interests of VOB as well as yourself as a moderator. And I must say, although we all differ in opinions, you handle yourself quite well and keep the good work up, Dennis.
Thank you very much, sir. People have talked about integrity and this, and the only thing you have, sir, is your good name at the end of the day, yeah? And that of your family. Thank you for your contribution. Brass Dex, good morning.
Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back.
It's good to be back. It's good to be back.
Good to be back, fit and healthy.
Johnson, let's see if it lasts.
I was listening. I was moved by the caller. The daughter of $124
yeah.
a month.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that there has been a response. But I believe that the time has come for too many people are affected by this system in terms of, you said it, whether it's bureaucracy, whether it's a situation of at a level. I believe there should be a body of people who could at least do a means test of these various people, so that somewhere along the line, I've known people who welfare has been stopped because of certain conditions, which should not have been. This was not stopped by the parliamentarian. This was stopped probably by the actual a person from the agency who went out and investigated that person. And because they might have seen a television in the person's home, or the person might have a phone, those persons were taken off of welfare. It should not be. The background to what I'm saying, Mr. Johnson, you are disabled. I am disabled. A lot of people don't know that I am disabled because I don't live a disabled life. I don't have vision in my right eye. And I go along as if though there's nothing at all that will affect me. I've had several vehicles, and people know this. I feel comfortable driving on a public service vehicle. The reason why I feel comfortable driving on a public service vehicle is that I am into the people, I am into their lifestyle, I am into their comments, and you make friends with a lot of people that normally if you were in a different direction, you would not be making friends with. And I've made friends all my life. And I say at this time, I am comfortable using the public service vehicle, having the position based on the fact, I don't care when people think, well, look, he's catching a public service vehicle, or I live life. I live life because of people. I live life because of who I am, and I believe that people must understand this. And I'm saying this because when I heard you a little while ago, and then I heard the lady made a reference to her condition, I don't believe, because some people in Barbados feed the dogs on more than $125 a month.
That's true. You know, let me tell you the other thing that I do on purpose. I catch public service vehicles to hear what people are talking about while they're on the PSVs, to see the kind of behavior, to see where they stop, And I know a lot of the guys that way, you know. I sit and talk to them about what, you know, things they're upset about. So when I come here and sit and someone says so and so, that's why I could say, but they're good ones in the system because I know, and I could call them by name.
That's right.
Because to me, sitting outside and looking at it is one thing. When you try to catch a bus at 5 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning, you then know whether there is a bus available at that time or not. People could tell you whatever they want to tell you. It's either true or not true. But yeah, I do it from time to time on purpose.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I'm in a position. I could own another car, but I fall in love with the system that I'm into now. As you said, you know, you get involved with PSP drivers, conductors. You meet people. You find yourself now being a service because sometimes you have to get out to let people get in. You know, I'm saying all of this to say this. People must understand that it's not the end of the world for you. It's a new way of life. It's a new way that you have to adapt yourself to. And if you're accustomed to the roses and all the poinsettias and you cannot at least take the little palm flower, then you don't know what life is all about. But let me come to the point of politics, Mr. Johnson. Politics in this country, we will have a smooth transition. I want people to understand this. You are affected, you are offended, and somewhere along the line, you want to at least replenish things that you might not have had over the last couple of years. You will do what you have to do on the voting day, the 24th. We will have a smooth transition period. And bear this in mind, all my life in the political arena of Barbados, I have seen smooth transitions. And the smooth transitions could only continue because people understand you lose, you win. If you cannot accept your losses, then this is where the problems come. And all I'm saying is those who will lose this time around must continue the transition of Barbados over the years that you accept that you have lost. You realize that you have done something that you should not have done in that period of time. And because you've done it, the people have now had an opportunity to get what is really theirs. And I always say that they vote. When some person say they're not voting, they don't understand what is happening. Because in Australia, if you don't vote, you pay the price. Voting is extremely important because you cannot say that this government is not your government because you did not vote. You cannot say that this government is your government because you did not vote. You have to cast that vote. Whatever the outcome of that vote, you have to live with because governments have to be put in place. And government is not only the people who dictate the parliament. We are government. Opposition is government. We are the ones who understand fully our requirements. But we do not treat the politicians the way we should treat them. And I'm saying that I would like to see a transformation.
Huh? Really?
Yeah, we don't.
Which politicians we treat?
Hold on.
No. I get your point.
Yes.
Look, let me say this to you, though. Huh? For me, the challenge is twofold. And I'll tell you why I say the challenge is twofold. You may not do it. I know several politicians who may not do it. But just as with ZR drivers, just as with the bad behaved school children, any section of a group of people who misbehave or who ill-treat you, everyone gets smeared with a brush. When you have people who've come from among you, you know them, they talk to you, you see them, they hail you out, then they become minister of government. And they pass you as though they don't know you. You call them to ask them a question and they tell you, I can call you back, and they never do. I always tell my friends, the few that I have, careful whose hands you stamp on while you're going up the ladder. You may need a hand to catch you when you fall down. And if they hand break, they let you fall. So when you put down the MP car and you go back to walking around, don't call me. Don't ask me nothing. Because I called you last week and you passed me. There are people who I know on both sides of the political fence. People are telling me, man, you get cussed. And when they see me, we'll stop and say, Dennis, how are you going? And we have a conversation. And they tell me, your shoe's looking clean, boy. And we have a conversation.
Let me continue.
You know, and sir, them fellas will get ahead. The others go fall down.
No, but let me continue the point of the constituents need to know.
I agree with that.
Let me say what I'm saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I am hoping, and I know that this new government will at least go down the road that they should go. Every member of parliament, opposition and government, are taken care of by the management committee of parliament. That is, they're provided with a constituency office, they're provided with certain utilities, and they can at least provided with a constituency assistant who is paid for, not by the member of parliament, but paid for by parliament. I am saying that now that we're on the eve of parliament, we have seen situations where many politicians have neglected their interests in their constituency by closing that constituency office. I am asking
Maybe they can't afford it.
Oh, no. Hold on, Mr. Johnson, let's get serious. Let me say what I'm saying.
I know that.
They don't have to pay for it.
I know it's paid for, Mark. It was a sarcastic remark. I know.
I am hoping, and I know that under the leadership of Ms. Motley, that this I am asking be done, that every elected member of parliament who, in truth and fact, is being represented by what I've just said, will at least spend one day or 2 days in the office so that they will see their constituents, and at least they may not be able to grant the constituents their request, but you can say that they were seen. I am tired of several of these constituency branches that you call and you get a voicemail. You've heard, you don't see, and the government pays up money to these constituency assistants. Government pays the landlord rent. Government pays the telephone bill. Government pays the water utilities. And you want to tell me that constituents are sitting down and saying, I don't see? You are supposed to see. You are supposed to make an effort to see. Whether you're a B, a D, a K, or F, if you have a parliamentary representative but you did not vote for him, you still have to go and see that person. And that person have to sue this way because there is no divide. There is no divide when you're elected. So you can't say that you've seen a D when you're a B, you have seen a B when you're a D. I'm saying that let's transform this system of politics in Barbados. Let's make the politician understand fully. We are not begging you anymore. We are saying to you, you came to our home and you asked for a vote. We give you the vote not to pester you, but we give you the vote with an understanding that you will be a representative. And not what you have just said, Mr. Johnson, that you drive your BMW with your glass up. I am very moved this morning. You know why I moved this morning? I am moved this morning because I can see a transformation in this country. But I'm appealing as a former member of parliament and as someone who associates with the government, the Barbados Labour Party, I am hoping that whenever they are elected, I know of a member of parliament who is not in parliament and has his house, he's had his office open for every 5 days, 5 years of that time. We have an athlete, and I'm saying if he can do that, I'm saying that those people who are in parliament, who transform themselves on being elected, should stop.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Good morning. 434-1790. Hello.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hi, good morning.
This is Joanne Haig, Barbados Water Authority. How are you?
I am very fine. Thanks. Good to hear you. How are you? You good?
I'm well, thank you.
Haven't heard you in a while.
Well, that could be a good thing, but now you're hearing me now regarding the potable water side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk to the good people of St. Joseph. The last couple of days, they would have experienced some water outages, possibly over 4 or 5 days on and off. We are currently investigating. What we do know so far is that we had to shut down one of the pumps at Golden Ridge because there's not enough water in that system. We are currently investigating why there's not enough water. So we have our non-revenue water department walking the lines, the transmission mains, water that carries, the mains that carry water there to see if there's a leak. The other problem is that we're also having some challenges with the number 3 borehole in Sweetvale, St. George. If you can remember, these boreholes were commissioned about a year and a half ago. Almost 2 years, in an effort to augment the Castle Grant system. So that borehole is currently offline. As a result, the areas in the higher elevated districts in St. Joseph are currently being affected. The engineers are investigating, and we're trying our best to rectify as soon as possible. In the meantime, water tankers will continue to service the affected areas, and we have reactivated some of the community tanks in the Horsfield area, and we will probably reactivate in the Orange Cottage, Bowling Alley, and Suriname area. So these are the areas that are currently being affected: Horsfield, Sugar Hill, Orange Cottage, Bowling Alley, and the immediate surrounding areas. We will be sending out notices to your station, and we certainly will keep the good residents of St. Joseph informed. And we do apologize for the inconvenience, but we are trying our best to investigate. And once we know what it is, we will certainly get it rectified as soon as possible.
Joanne, I just wanted to ask you if we are taking any early steps to try to ease what is usually a rough period for us during the dry period, you know, checking tanks, reactivating the old systems, just in case we run into the kind of challenges we had with the last dry spell. Because it's been fairly dry of late.
It has been, certainly, and we will be speaking to the relevant agencies that would have the information for the predictions so that we can all talk to the public as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. But I can say this, that we should be prepared in the event for a dry season, possibly. Also, you know that we're approaching hurricane season.
Yep.
We've seen the devastation across the Caribbean last year. So we also have to prepare for that. We have the community tanks in place, and we always go out there to make sure that they're maintained, because they're like mini reservoirs in the event that we do have to reactivate. And right now, yes, this is one of the situations where we believe after 3-4 days and we're investigating, we believe that we need to reactivate them, and we've done so, and we will, I think we have to do some more.
Mm-hmm.
The tanker service, as I speak, they're in the areas of St. Joseph. Right now, one is at St. Bernard School,
mm-hmm.
Making sure that the children have water. So as long as when I get the information, of course, we will share it, and as soon as the engineers tell us. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that I want to talk about quickly is obviously water conservation and an investment in a personal tank. And
mm-hmm.
as you know, Dennis, we do have a program that we are selling tanks at $80 a month over 5 years, as a total of $4,800 for a full tank solution.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly, we will also be giving away 1,500 personal tanks, right across Barbados, to the most vulnerable persons in the society.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of weeks ago, we would have launched that program at the Derek Smith School. Bearing in mind, persons with disabilities are categorized as the most vulnerable, because a lot of the parents at the school financially are not well off. And Dennis, and I can speak to you on a personal note, when you are out of water on a regular day, a quote-unquote regular family, it is all very disruptive when it comes to a parent with a child with a disability, because there's need for structure. When that structure changes, it takes everything out of whack for that day,
mm-hmm.
and it can be very challenging to put it all back into place.
Mm-hmm.
So the absence of water for parents with persons with disabilities, the lack of structure of getting up and finding the water will certainly impact the entire family, more than the average family.
Gotcha.
So we want to be able to start there. So I want to at least tell the good people of St. Joseph, we really are trying very hard. We know what you felt 2 years ago. We certainly hope it's not a repeat, but we are doing everything that we can to ensure that it isn't. Last time it was drought-related. We are hoping that it isn't, and we're hoping it's more equipment and something that we can get rectified as soon as possible.
I got a note here that says Canefield St. Thomas does not have water as well. That's part of the pocket?
That's part of, yes. Well,
okay.
Let me just say quickly, there are three systems that feed the areas of the higher parts of St. Joseph and St. Thomas.
Right.
The Aidsville system, the mm-hmm. Castle Grant system, and the Golden Ridge system.
Right.
Anytime any of those three systems go off, even if they drop in supply,
mm-hmm.
The persons in the higher areas will be impacted. Canfield, yes, and possibly Hillaby, to the surrounding district. Welchman Hall will also be on and off as well. So that's what we've been battling for the last couple of days. We do apologize for the late information. We really needed to know what was going on. And it was a case of going in with a tanker, and as soon as you got there, the water's back on.
Mm-hmm.
And when you left, 3 hours in,
it was back off.
And then it was crazy. And we needed to get a grip on what was happening, and we certainly now know that there's not enough water in Golden Ridge, and we are checking that out. but the borehole number 3, we're having some challenges there, and we are investigating. Our engineers are currently on the ground trying to get this problem under control.
Okay. Thank you very much, Joanne. Good to hear you. And hopefully you'll be able to update us with encouraging news for the people in those areas. This is Down to Brass Tacks.